I welcome you all to this annual general meeting, the 190th annual general meeting of the Trinitarian Bible Society. May the Lord be with us as we proceed through the business agenda this morning hour. First of all, can you hold up your voting card so we can check we are quorate? I think that's more than 40. Is the room, is it? Yes. So I hold this meeting as duly convened and quorate. I would ask that all mobile phones be switched off now, please, and during the following service of worship. In addition, we would request that only the main entrance doors at the front of the building be used by those wishing to leave after our meeting today, as all other exits will be closed. And the lower side exit doors at the rear of the building are for emergency use only. We shall now turn to read in the Holy Scriptures from Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and we shall read from verse 105 to 120. Psalm 119, from verse 105 to 120. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage for ever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Just for a few moments, I'll direct you to the verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Psalm 119 is a remarkable psalm, not just for its length, but also for the way it displays the character of the unknown psalmist. One would think it probably was David, but we're not told that, so we need not speculate. What we can say is that the character of the psalmist is well witnessed in the psalm. He was a praying man, many, many prayers. He was a praising man, but especially one who held the word of God in the highest esteem. And he says in these verses that it is a lamp unto his feet and a light unto his path. When it was more popular to learn Holy Scriptures, even young people learned the whole of Psalm 119 and recited. Whether they would do so now, I don't know. It would be good if they could and would. But there was a man whose mother taught him this when he was a lad, and he could recite perfectly Psalm 119 from beginning to end. Sadly, he came under the censure of the law and was sentenced to be hung. And it was the policy in those days that the man to be executed could say something before he was hung. So he began to recite Psalm 119. And he got to the last stanza, and a horseman came up with a pardon from the king, and so he was delivered. In other words, he thanked the Lord that he learned Psalm 119, at least I hope he did. Far, far more important, if we are to have our lives saved, is that this word be written in our hearts. The psalmist said he loved God's law because it was written in his heart. And there are three things, very briefly this morning, I'll just bring before you. First of all, the written word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God does have other voices in creation and providence, but it is the word of God that is the only infallible measure by which we must judge our steps in life. As the prophet Isaiah says, to the law and the testimony, if they don't walk according to that principle, there is no light in them. Our whole life must be governed by what the word of God says. Secondly, the incarnate word, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. He is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. He is the express image of the Father. The name he bears as the Word shows he is the actual revelation of the mind of God in the Word. And what a light he is. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And we read in the epistle to Peter, the second epistle, he's left us an example that we should follow his steps. So you see, the first test is the written word of God. Then the next test must be the example that Christ has set. And those two things will never be in contradiction one to another. And the third thing is, and this is essential, that the Holy Spirit, who is the inspirer of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, should make the Word of God spirit and life in our hearts. Then it becomes a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. We need what the old preachers used to call application. The Word without the Spirit, one said, is dead, and the Spirit without the Word is dumb. So we need the application, and there's many ways the Word of God is applied by the Spirit. Sometimes as a sword, sometimes a hammer, sometimes like the fire, sometimes like the seed that is sown, sometimes like the rain, sometimes like the snow. But you see, in every way there is an application. Then the Word becomes spirit and life. Then we have the grace given to walk in the precepts and principles of the Holy Word of God. In 1941, the nation here was in dire straits. France had been overrun by the Germans, and it seemed almost inevitable that this island would be overtaken too. And King George VI, who was the king at that time, and a man I believe raised up for that time, he gave his annual New Year address to the nation, and he quoted at that time these words, I said to the man at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may safely tread into the unknown. And the man answered, put your hand into the hand of God, for that is better than a light and safer than a known way. The word of God is God's outstretched hand. And when we are blessed with that faith that comes from above, there is, as it were, a taking, or God taking our hand through the Word, and we taking his hand in gracious response as the Holy Ghost enables us, and then we walk safely. The Word is a lamp to our feet. It is a light to our path, and we're in very dark times at the moment, both nationally, internationally, spiritually, in many ways. But the Word of God doesn't alter in its character one iota. Even today, it is the answer in these dark days. Thy Word written, Thy Word incarnate, Thy Word applied is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Bless God for his holy word. Let us stand for prayer. Almighty, most gracious Lord God, Thou who art the inspirer of Thy holy word from beginning to end, we do pray that like the godly psalmist it may be written in our hearts, that it may be our joy to walk in its precepts, obey its commands, hear its warnings, enjoy its comforts, and find that our footsteps are found in the footsteps our Lord Jesus Christ has gone before. For when he putteth forth his sheep, he goeth before them. So the sheep tread in those paths, those steps, the Saviour has gone before. We do pray at this time especially, Thou wilt guide the society that we are representing this morning, and pray that in the changes that must inevitably come, we may cleave as close to the word of God as our forefathers did, and let our eyes look right on, and our eyelids straight before us, pondering the path of our feet, that our ways may be established. So do bless us this morning hour, help all those who take their part, and we do thank thee for thy mercies to this society, the way it has been provided for financially, and more than that, spiritually, in the ability thou hast given to those who are leading the society at this time. Lord, thou hast been very mindful, very gracious, and we are unworthy of it, but we would acknowledge thy goodness and mercy at this time, and pray that today might be an encouragement to us, like Samuel who raised the Ebenezer stone between Mizpah and Shen, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And Lord, if there's a hitherto, may we not then also believe that the help will continue. Yesterday you helped me, today you did the same. How long will that continue? Forever. Bless his name. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Wash our poor prayers. Lord Jesus, take up our cause and case in glory. And may we know even today that our prayer has been recorded in the highest court of heaven by the answers thou art pleased to give. We ask all for Christ's sake. Amen. Very good to see so many of you able to gather with us this morning. I do pray that you may find it a profitable day in fellowship one with another, but especially may we hear the voice of our God through his holy word. Now, 2021 marks the 190th anniversary of the formation of the Trinitarian Bible Society. And it would not be remiss just to remind us why and how it came into existence. It came at a time when the British and Foreign Bible Society had become infiltrated by Unitarians who deny the eternal sonship and Godhead of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because they were offended at prayer being offered in the name of our Lord Jesus, public prayer at their meetings was foregone. At the same time, there were influence from the Roman Catholic Eastern Orthodox members who wanted the society to print the Apocrypha, which is not received as the canon of Holy Scripture. And our forefathers came to a point when they felt they could no longer go in these erroneous directions. They could perceive where it would end if there was not a stand made. And so we believe under the direct prompting of God himself, they came out and formed the society that we love. They felt compelled to make a stand for the truth once delivered, the faith once delivered to the saints. And through God's grace, those principles which our forefathers stood have been maintained over this long period, we believe, without deviation. In the upcoming quarterly review, a record, I say, you will have a more extensive review of the 190 years that God has been pleased to give us. I warmly commend that to you. And since we last gathered, we have lost a very valued member of the Trinitarian Bible Society, the Pastor David Oldham. He was vice chairman for some years and a very ardent, consistent, loyal, loving supporter of the Trinitarian Bible Society. And we miss men like that, of that calibre. In his gentle way, he stood firmly for the principles that we love, for which we are gathered this afternoon, or this morning, I should say. And we extend our deep sympathy to his family, his wife and family, at this loss. We are very pleased to welcome Kaiser Kelboom from Stichting Freud in Stimmer. I probably haven't said that very well, but our friend Kais has worked with the Society for many years, distributing the scriptures in Russia, and we're very pleased to have him with us, and thank you for making that special effort to come and be with us. We thank you for that. Now, during the course of the meeting, I'll be asking for motions to be voted on, and should there be any questions relating to them, we will, of course, do our best to answer them. Members will be asked to vote on the minutes of last year's annual general meeting, to ratify the motions of the 19th September 2020 annual general meeting, the annual report and audited financial statements, the reappointment of the charity trustees and the general committee, the appointment of the auditors, to update the society's constitution, paragraph 4, relating to our membership, raising the membership subscription, and the new membership subscription set out at agenda item 13. It seems a long agenda, but I believe we can proceed through it with order and not too long, we trust. Now, members will be asked to vote by holding up their voting cards. Each member must have a proposer and a seconder. It would be helpful for the proposer and seconder to stand and state clearly their name so they can be recorded in the minutes. When a motion has been proposed and seconded, the motion before the meeting for debate. If there's more than one motion, each motion will be taken separately in the order in which they've been placed before the meeting. The business meeting is scheduled to conclude at approximately 12:30, if the Lord will. Following the business meeting, there'll be a break for lunch, and the service of worship is scheduled to commence at 2 p.m. So now we move to the motion to sign the minutes of the annual general meeting held on the 19th of September 2020. I've got a few observations to make with that meeting, with the item. The minutes were circulated with David Broom's covering letter of August 2021. Only members who are present either online or the few in person at the AGM are entitled to vote on the approval of the minutes of that meeting. The vote is to establish that members are happy the minutes are an accurate record of the business transacted at the AGM last year. The motion is the minutes of the annual general meeting held online on 19th September 2020 be approved and signed as a true record of that meeting. Is there a proposer for that motion, please? Thank you. Thank you very much. A seconder, please. Thank you, Mr. Sayers. Did anyone wish to speak to the motion? Then we put it to the vote. Those for, please raise their cards. Thank you. Those against? That's carried. And I sign the minutes then in your presence. Thank you, David. We now proceed to item number 5. The motion is that the motions from 19th September 2020 AGM held partially online and in person, as set out in the approved minutes for the 19th of September 2020, and the previous motion be ratified. This rather complicated way of doing things because we were online last year and we need to do everything in order for those decisions that were taken. So is there a proposer for that motion, please? Thank you, Mr. Sayers. Seconder, please. Thank you, Mr. Hopkins. Anyone wish to speak to the motion? Those for, please raise their... Thank you. and any against, that is carried. Thank you very much. Right, we now proceed to item 6, which is the report of the editorial report by our editorial director, Jonathan Arnold. Jonathan, can you come to the lectern, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is a privilege and joy to report to you once again on the work of the editorial department for this past year. The Holy Scriptures that God has preserved are infallible and are used by the Lord in the spread of the gospel, the building up of believers and the church. As 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17 states, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We have all heard and listened and been given much guidance in the past year from all manner of human sources. However, in the Word of God, we have divine instruction and guidance. And therefore, surely nothing is more important than access to and instruction in the Word of the living God. We who have the Word must distribute it far and wide. Upholding and distributing the Scriptures, of course, goes to the core of the society's work, and it is in that work we press on by God's grace. As has already been mentioned, on the 7th of December this year, it will mark 190 years since the Trinitarian Bible Society was formed. At Exeter Hall 190 years ago, a large company of people gathered to make a stand for scriptural truth regarding the Trinity and to distribute faithful copies of the Word of God. At this meeting, the following motion was proposed and adopted: that it is in the opinion of this meeting that a society engaged in circulating the pure Word of God, and upon which devolves the responsibility of preparing and issuing new translations of the Holy Scriptures, must be considered decidedly a religious society, and one that should be conducted on scriptural principles, and that those who are Protestants and acknowledge the Scripture doctrine of the Holy Trinity can consistently be admitted members of such a society or be fit agents to conduct or carry such a work. Since then, by the grace of God, for 190 years, we trust that the society has been circulating and distributing, translating and upholding the Word of God. Of course, the enduring work of distribution of God's Word will only continue through the Trinitarian Bible Society if we seek to be faithful to God's Word and His truth. Again, at that first meeting, the following law was laid down: the society shall circulate the Holy Scriptures, as comprised in the canonical books of the Old and New Testament, without note or comment, to the exclusion of the Apocrypha. The copies in the English language shall be those of the authorized version. And it is that wording that forms part of the description of our work in the society's constitution today. Despite the difficulties of the past year, and no doubt many of you have known some of these things personally, it is a matter of thanks to God that the society has been able to continue its work of preparing, translating, and circulating the Scriptures. There have been distinct challenges and tremendous blessings, and I want to just set out a few of them to you. We have known great challenges, with translators suffering from COVID-19 in Argentina, Nepal, India, Malawi, Zambia, and other countries. We thank the Lord that so far all translators have come through, and yet at the present time, the lead for the Mongolian translation project, Jason Ritchie, is critically ill with COVID-19. Please continue to pray for him and the safety of all our translators. We have also been challenged by the passing of two of our translators or consultants from other causes. Firstly, our dear brother Spasimir Stanchev, who laboured in the Bulgarian translation, and often you would see him sat here at one of these AGMs. He went to be with the Lord in April 2021. Secondly, one of our editorial consultants, Dr. Greg Fox, passed away last month in his home country of Australia. Dr. Fox, behind the scenes, was instrumental in the preparation of our current edition of the Romanian Bible. For many of these translators and consultants, their work is unsung, for the most part unseen, especially in their own lifetime. But yet, as it was for great individuals like William Tyndale, who laboured by the grace of God, what is produced is of incalculable value to future generations. The pervading restrictions also have brought with them logistical challenges in overseeing the over 40 Bible translation or revision projects across the world. On some of these projects, of course, we would have been a delight to meet with some of our translators or revisers, but this has scarcely been possible. Nevertheless, we are grateful for the online means by which we are able to meet. We have had encouragements too. The Shona Bible has now been sent to print, and we're grateful, of course, to the GBS for their support of that project. The Pocock Gospel According to John was also printed, and not too long ago, we were able to publish the Chichewa New Testament and the Thadu Bible. We are engaging right now in typesetting numerous translation projects. God willing, within the next 2 years, complete Bibles will be published in Shona, Simti, Spanish, and Vifei, and New Testaments in Amharic, Chinese, Dangeo, French, Kom, a new setting in Russian, not a new translation, and Turkish. Likewise, in a remarkable way, new scripture projects have begun that we have long prayed for could start. For years, all doors seemed to be shut, and then the Lord saw fit to graciously open the door for these projects. Swahili and Kikamba are two of these, and that goes along with the pilot project that we have in British Sign Language. The Society continues to maintain its firmly held constitutional commitment to the English authorized version, to the Greek received text, and to the Hebrew Masoretic text. As the German Academy warms up in Munster and will in the coming years release its latest edition of the Greek text, we must be ready once again to stand for the infallible and preserved scriptures. A text that has been preserved by God and not recently compiled by textual critics or new computer-driven methodology. We hope that the text and translation conference that we're planning for next year, that will take place shortly before the AGM, will assist many as they seek to stand for these indispensable truths. We have also in the past year increased materials for children with a quarterly pamphlet to accompany our quarterly magazine, as well as developing some new educational booklets for use in schools, homes, and churches. Likewise, we are uploading more and more of our translations online so people can access them even where they're not able to get a copy of the printed scriptures. I would like to thank each member of the editorial department, and special thanks is given to Deborah Anderson, who some of you may know, who retired this year but remains working for us 2 days a week. As they labour managing translation projects, giving linguistic advice, ensuring the Bibles produced and other publications are as accurate as possible, I am most grateful for all that they labour in. The last 18 months serves as a reminder to us all that the Lord is ultimately in control. In control of our lives and the things that we do. So let us give thanks to God for the heritage of an open Bible and freedom of worship still enjoyed in our land. For the Holy Scriptures, which we have the joy and privilege of distributing, especially in these days of uncertainty. That in Christ, set out to us in the Scriptures, believers have a sure and certain hope. And as we read in Romans 15 verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I trust that is a helpful introduction to our work this past year. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan, very much, and we deeply appreciate all you do in this vital work. I now ask our friend Philip Bowes to come and give his report. Thank you, Philip. The operations report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In this report, I will outline the work of the Operations Department during 2020 and also give a few more recent developments. I hope it will be encouraging and that it will help you, our members and our supporters, as you pray for the work. As you know, our motto is the Word of God among all nations. So we circulate scriptures as widely as possible. And last year, the Lord enabled the Society to distribute 7.6 million scriptures and scripture items in 40 languages to recipients in 111 countries. We granted over 2.1 million scriptures and scripture items. That means that we gave them away free of charge to people who had passed our grant application process. Recipients typically include missionaries, evangelists, churches, prisons, and schools. We send out hundreds of different grants orders every year, and each grants order ranges in size from a single box of Bibles for a grantee to several pallets stacked high with thousands of Bibles for another. Let me give you three examples of some of the larger grants that we sent out last year. The first and the largest was for 100,000 Spanish New Testaments for distribution in Latin America. This very large grant was funded entirely by our sister society in the Netherlands, the GBS, and we've been greatly helped on a practical level by TBS USA, who serve the Latin American region. Despite COVID restrictions and other difficulties, nearly 80,000 of the Spanish New Testaments have now been delivered, and we are continuing to send out the remaining 20,000 copies. The second example of a large grant is to a grantee in Armenia, to whom we sent 10,000 Armenian New Testaments, 3,750 Armenian Bibles, and 2,000 Russian Bibles. And you may remember, if you were at the AGM last year online, that this brother spoke at the AGM and detailed the appalling situation in Armenia. And his mission seeks to meet the physical needs of the poor, which are very great, but they also place great emphasis on people's spiritual needs. And we are delighted at TBS to help by granting them thousands of Armenian Bibles each year, which they in turn give away free of charge. And the third example of a large grant is 5,000 Romanian New Testaments and 7,500 Romanian articles to our main grantee and agent, distribution agent, in Romania. This brother, who has spoken here at previous AGMs, was the main translator of the TBS Romanian Bible, and we've been helping to support him since the Bible's publication in 2018 so that he can promote this translation to Romanian-speaking people. Please pray that the Lord would cause that faithful edition of the Scriptures to become a new standard for the Romanian people. We thank the Lord sincerely for providing the funds that enable us to grant, to give away the Scriptures. And these funds are, of course, received from our members, our supporters, in the forms of donations, collections, and legacies, as well as coming from partner organisations. You probably know that we also distribute the scriptures by way of sales, and these sales are often heavily discounted. This is actually our main distribution channel in terms of volume. Most of the items that we sell will be given away by the people who purchase them. So whether they are distributed through the sales channel or through the grants channel, our Bibles and other items are almost always given away free of charge in the end. The number of scriptures and scripture items sold last year was 5.5 million, and of these, 4.6 million were sold under license to other publishers. Remarkably, the sales from our UK headquarters were down by only 8% compared to the previous year, despite all the difficulties of the COVID pandemic. Indeed, the Lord greatly upheld the operations department and the whole society during this period, and we thank him for maintaining the work during a very challenging year. One avenue of Bible distribution that blossomed during the pandemic is that of leaving Bibles outside homes and churches for passers-by to take. We know of quite a few churches and individuals who started doing this in 2020. One church member in Hertfordshire sent us a note saying, "We've been encouraged by the uptake on Bibles from our Bible box. So far, 124 Bibles and New Testaments have been taken, along with 26 booklets and tracts and 27 children's magazines. The most popular Bible is the Windsor. We know this has been replicated in other areas, and none of us could have imagined such an opportunity at the start of this year. May they be read and greatly used to the salvation of many." And of course, we add our Amen to that. Another customer told us that she was buying 100 New Testaments to put through her neighbour's letterboxes to give them something to read during lockdown. The Lord can indeed turn difficult circumstances around and use them for his glory. And I could add that some churches who offer a free Bible through their website have found that over the last year, demand has increased tenfold compared to previous levels. As reported last year, the scope of the UK railway poster campaign was curtailed in early 2020 as a result of our primary advertising partner informing us that they would no longer accept religious material due to restrictions that were imposed by certain train operating companies. So whilst there was a record number of poster bookings from our supporters, most of them couldn't actually be displayed. We contacted all the train operating companies more than once, but were disappointed by the lack of response from many. We took legal advice from several sources, but our limited resources make a protracted legal challenge on multiple fronts extremely challenging. There is still one advertising company with whom we can work for railway posters, so please contact our office if you're interested in sponsoring a poster for 2022 and we can discuss availability in your region. In light of these difficulties, we've just launched a pilot project to display scripture posters in bus shelters, where they are visible to motorists, pedestrians, and bus passengers. And if this proves to be successful, then we may include this option in the 2023 campaign. But please continue to pray that the Lord will overrule this situation so that the society can continue to display the Word of God publicly, as we have done since 1975. Our constitution speaks of circulating the scriptures at home and abroad. So as well as having an international focus to the work, we also encourage the circulation of the scriptures at home here in the United Kingdom, and our auxiliaries contribute to this local work. Last year, they were responsible for distributing over 17,000 scriptures and scripture items, the vast majority through grants to prisons, schools, hospitals, and care homes. Some of these were supplied using central funds, but most were funded by the auxiliaries themselves. And you can visit our website for more information about how to support our auxiliaries in general and your local auxiliary if you have one. Please pray for our auxiliary committee members and their helpers. Most of the conferences and exhibitions that we'd planned to participate in, of course, were cancelled last year because of coronavirus, but we're thankful that we can now meet with our supporters again at events such as this, and we hope and pray that this will continue without hindrance. As Jonathan mentioned, next September We plan to host a conference at our headquarters, William Tyndale House, in the week of the AGM on the theme of text and translation. And several speakers are now confirmed. God willing, we're expecting Dr. Jeff Riddle, Reformed Baptist from the United States, and Bill Greendike, the General Secretary of TBS USA, and Puyan Mashahi from Providence Baptist Chapel in Chippenham to speak about the work in Farsi. And there is one other speaker still to confirm. We hope that it will be a very important conference for the Society, so please look out for further details in the quarterly record. I'd like to thank each member of the Operations Department in London for their hard work during 2020. It was a challenging year for everyone, as I mentioned earlier. And I'd like to thank our volunteers who give of their time to support the department's work, some working on site, some from home. And please do continue to remember our staff and our volunteers in your prayers. So I hope this report, which concerns primarily the scripture distribution work of the Society, has been an encouragement to you. And I hope that it has brought glory to the Lord who enables this work to take place. May he continue to bless the translation, publication and distribution of his holy word. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Philip. We greatly appreciate all you do and your team as well for the operations department. I now ask our and David Broome for the resources report, please. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And members, supporters and friends of the Society, it is our privilege to present to you this morning. As we meet before the Lord our God this morning to acknowledge his great mercies to this Society, we are truly humbled at the way that he has supplied, maintained and indeed kept it faithful for over 190 years. As you have heard, we still seek to graciously contend as helped by God for all that our founding fathers stood for, including a doctrine that has been largely lost in modern Christendom, namely the providential preservation of the Holy Scriptures in the original languages, as passed down to us in the Hebrew Masoretic and Greek received texts. Contrast this, as Jonathan has already said, with the unsettled and fluid biblical texts that are so in vogue today, which seem to need constantly to be improved by the supposed developing knowledge and discoveries of man, and most recently and perhaps most shockingly by computer programs. I say, what an affront to Almighty God and his word. Given his eternal, unchanging character, how can such so-called biblical texts, corrupted as they are, possibly be the pure word of God, which Psalm 138 tells us, remarkably, that the Lord has exalted above all his name. But for the many challenges that we have faced in these past 18 months, we would naturally have wanted to make more of this 190th anniversary for the Lord's glory. But this, of course, has not been possible due to the pandemic. However, I think as has already been mentioned, the next quarterly record will be a special commemorative edition, and look out for the rather special front cover. Looking back to 2020 briefly, you have heard from my brethren how the Lord has been working through the Society, particularly in relation to translation and distribution of the Holy Scriptures, and I will just comment now briefly on a few matters of a more corporate nature. The last 18 months have indeed been dominated by the pandemic in terms of our operations and have caused major changes in which the Society has had to operate. Our London office was essentially closed apart from the warehouse for two long periods of time, and we were all confined to working at home. However, through the Lord's great mercy, our operations largely have been unhindered, apart from in two areas. One, we were unable to keep our showroom open, and secondly, of course, our deputation speakers and deputation meetings were severely hindered. But at least some of those were able to go ahead online, for which we are thankful. All of this despite many staff working from home, some being on furlough, and some indeed having the virus. And we thank the Lord for bringing all our staff who have had the virus safely through. The need to manage carefully in the COVID environment has obviously had to continue into the current year, but increasingly on a more cautious but business as usual basis rather than an emergency basis. On another corporate matter, we thank the Lord that we were able to successfully implement our new ex-ledger financial system in the UK on the 1st of October last year, and we continue to develop that software and the associated processes to make the best use of it. The 2021 accounts will be the first to have been prepared using the extensive benefits of this system, and we look forward to that. We are now working hard with our three largest branches, Australia, Canada and the USA, as we aim to implement the system there on the 1st of October this year, and we seek your continued prayers for that, please. Turning to the Society's financial results for 2020, more detail can be found in the annual report, Quarterly Record 636, which has been circulated to members in August, and also in the full Trustees Annual Report and Financial Statements 2020, which are available on our website or by request from the office. In summary, despite the financial concerns as we entered into the pandemic, naturally, the Society's worldwide operating deficit for 2020 was just £54,000, which is remarkable in itself, and indeed was an improvement of £217,000 on the deficit for 2019 when there was no pandemic. And thus we are reminded how remarkable the Lord's provision to the Society is. What can we do but say with the psalmist that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, O Lord, hast done it. After adjusting for investment and foreign currency losses caused by the pandemic, this figure worsens to a deficit of £372,000. But after all, these are financial valuation adjustments, which do not detract in any way from what the Lord has done for the Society in a very challenging year. The Society's cash liquidity position also remained sustainable throughout the year, and has done so right through into 2021 thus far. We're particularly thankful for a somewhat larger legacy pipeline than we have been used to for some years, although of course this may be connected to some degree with the pandemic, although some of these legacies may take a considerable time to liquidate. Despite this positive news, for which we give thanks, the Society still has significant financial challenges ahead. Despite many years of gradual cost-cutting, the Society's core cost base is still too high relative to our non-legacy income, and that needs to be addressed. The committee and the senior management team have been discussing this over the past 12 months or longer, and continue to seek to address it now through the five-year financial plan that has been adopted by the committee as part of our strategic plan, which you will hear more about soon. I'm thankful to report once again that the Society has received an unqualified audit opinion from our auditors, Moore Kingston Smith LLP, following a rigorous online audit, and we are very happy to recommend them again to you for reappointment for a further year. So I commend the Annual Report and Financial Statements 2020 to you for approval shortly. Moving on to more current matters. Other important matters have been exercising the General Committee and the Senior Management Team during 2021. Firstly, the preparations for the appointment of a new General Secretary. As you know, our esteemed former General Secretary, Mr. Rowland, fell ill in May 2019 and retired in October 2019, and the post has been vacant since. The committee had agreed that they would complete their strategic review before advertising the post again. That review is now complete, and you will have seen the job advert for the post in the latest issue of the Quarterly Record, along with a statement from our chairman. We would encourage anyone who is prayerfully exercised before the Lord as to whether he may be calling you to serve in this way, to get in touch and we will send you a job pack so that you can prayerfully consider whether you may be suitable for the post. The closing date is now approaching. It's the first, the Friday, the 1st of October, 2021. Secondly, the strategic plan for 21 to 26. Over the past 2 years, the work on the strategic plan has been going on and has culminated in the approval of the strategic plan at the May 2021 General Committee meeting. We hope to communicate the results of this more fully with the Society's membership in due course. Suffice to say that there will be no change to our aim. There will be no change to our core work as expressed in our Constitution. You have heard the firm commitment from all the brethren this morning to what the Society stands for. But rather, there will be a renewed drive to deliver these aims and our work efficiently in ways that are relevant in the 21st century, and which we trust will bring the most glory to God and the most increase to his kingdom under the Spirit's work. Thirdly, I come to a substantive issue, motions on the agenda this morning in relation to membership subscriptions, and I ask you to bear with me just for a few moments as I seek to explain the thinking behind these motions. I would indeed encourage any of you here this morning who are not members and who stand with the Society on our principles to join with us in membership. As you know, the Society's membership, the basis of it, is that all members must be Protestants, they must believe in the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, and they must believe in the doctrine of Holy Scripture as set forth in our Constitution. We need members, we need people to stand with us, we need young people to stand with us for the future if this society is to have a future under God. So we would encourage members. We were close to quorum this morning, the meeting is quorate, but only just, so we do need for the future to be able to maintain quorums at our annual meetings, and obviously for other reasons too. The membership subscription fee was last increased to £5 in 1989. When the Society was established, originally the subscription fee was linked to the cost of 4 Bibles, and that remains a helpful measure. The only way that the fee can currently be updated is to amend the Society's constitution, which of course is a very cumbersome way to deal with an administrative matter of this nature. In our members' survey taken in 2019, and we thank those of you who took part, almost 86% of the Society's membership were in favour of an increase in the subscription fee, and less than 4% were against it. Therefore, the General Committee is today recommending 2 motions to you as members, which you will have seen in your agenda papers. The first is a change to Clause 4 of the Society's Constitution, which, if approved, would give the General Committee the ability to propose future membership subscription tariffs, subject to approval by the membership at an AGM. This would replace the current arrangement under which the exact figure is prescribed in the Constitution. If this motion is approved, then a second motion will be put to the meeting to seek approval from the membership for a new subscription tariff commencing on the 1st of October this year, as follows. So ordinary standard membership will be £20 a year. There is a discounted membership for students, pensioners and the unemployed of £12.50 a year, and a discounted membership for those living in developing countries of £5 a year. And there is a definition of developing countries given. For existing life members, there will be no charge, and the situation continues that we are not signing up new life members now. So as well as maintaining the 4 Bibles principle that I mentioned, these proposed new arrangements seek to do 4 things. One is to assist in maintaining the ongoing financial stability of the society by raising between £20,000 and £30,000 per annum through increased membership subscriptions. At present, the cost of administering the Society's membership is actually higher than the fees that we raise from the membership, which clearly doesn't make sense. And in 2020, less than 1% of our worldwide income came from membership, which is perhaps slightly low by any measure for an organisation that claims to be a membership organisation. Secondly, to give more flexibility over the setting of future subscription rates so that we don't need a change to the Constitution every time we need to raise subscription rates. Thirdly, to provide discounted subscriptions, which we've never done before, for different categories of people to accommodate those who may find it more difficult to pay the new higher rate. And fourthly, to ensure members' continued involvement in changing subscription rates only through a vote at the AGM. For the avoidance of doubt, it's not proposed that from here on in there will be yearly increases in the membership fee. The subscription rates proposed today, we trust, will remain throughout the Society's current 5-year financial plan period. It is the desire of the committee to balance the need to remain financially sustainable with affordability, so that all individuals who wish to stand with us by way of membership can do so. These two motions will be dealt with later in the meeting under agenda items 12 and 13. To round off this item, the General Committee has also resolved that as part of the strategic plan, we will seek to introduce the option of automatic renewal of annual membership from October 2022, if the Lord will, as we are aware that both our paper-based and online renewal options are somewhat cumbersome and not particularly easy. Finally, turning to personnel changes, briefly, you've heard of the retirement of Deborah Anderson, and a colleague, David Orpin, in my department, has also recently retired from the Society after 19 years' service, Deborah's 30 years' service. Both will continue to work with us for 2 days a week for a little longer, but I would take the opportunity to thank them both publicly this morning for their faithful and diligent labours for the Society over so many years. There has been one change in the Society's trustee board in the past 12 months. The Reverend Gordon Ferguson from Northern Ireland, who has served on the committee faithfully for more than 13 years, has stood down due to health concerns. We shall very much miss our dear brother's wise and mature counsel, and would publicly thank him for all his labours on behalf of this Society. Finally, I would take the opportunity once again to thank the Society's General Committee, its UK staff, its branches, boards and staff, its consultants, volunteers, auxiliaries, members, and indeed all who support this work prayerfully throughout the world in any way. Without your prayerful, practical and financial support, this work would not be possible. But most of all, we would again publicly acknowledge the Lord's great goodness and mercy to us over the past 12 months. May he have all the glory. Brethren, pray for us. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, David. And on behalf of the General Committee, I would acknowledge our indebtedness to the senior management and to all the staff of the Society who have so loyally and lovingly worked during the past year and years. And we do ask for your prayers as we do consider the new General Secretary that we hope the Lord will bring to us ere long. Now, has anyone any question they wish to ask concerning the reports they've heard from the three gentlemen this morning? Yes, sir. Is it gift aid? Yes. It is, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Any other questions?
I'd like to ask a question.
Yes.
Would it be possible to pay the membership by 4 months per month, and maybe that would, for some people
who give,
then
might
be able to give
a few extra? Thank you. That's a very good. Can they pay a bit
monthly?
Yeah, please do, yeah.
Yeah, As part of the overhaul of the membership subscription, which I've just mentioned, we do hope from 2022 to offer some alternative ways of dealing with on paying the membership, which will hopefully be more user-friendly to you as members, and we will certainly take that into consideration as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Oh, sorry, beg your pardon. Yes. Yes, I'm the pastor at Chippenham, and Pastor Michelle is the pastor at Cheltenham. I'm still the pastor for 41 years.
Oh, that's good.
Through God's mercy, and that's great. God's great forbearance. Thank you for raising that point. Thank you. We now move to then item number 9, and though this is a formality in one sense, it's not a formality in another, because it reiterates the doctrinal position of the society, and it's very important that we do reaffirm that every year, not just in our head, but in our heart. The motion is that this society reverently acknowledges its complete dependence upon Almighty God, reaffirms its constant adherence to the scriptural doctrines and principles upon which the work was established, and seeks the divine blessing upon his endeavour to promote the worldwide circulation of Protestant or uncorrupted versions of the divinely inspired Holy Scriptures, which are able to make wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, which are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. And the report and audited financial statements, a summary of which have been reprinted in the report, and copies of which have been circulated, be adopted. So we need to adopt the annual report now with that doctrinal statement as our foundation. Is there a proposer, please? Thank you. Graham, a seconder, please. Thank you. Trevor, Scott, thank you. Those in favour, please. Thank you. Any against? That's carried. Thank you very much for your support in that respect. Now, item 10 is to reappoint the charity trustees of the General Committee, and the Society's trustees are printed on the agenda. And you should note that Gordon Ferguson, who has been mentioned, has stepped down with the committee, and we give him our sincere thanks for his many years of faithful service on the committee. He was a very active and prayerful member of that committee, and we greatly appreciate it. So the motion is that the following gentlemen, and I'll read their names out now, Mr. G.D. Buss, Pastor R.A. Clark, Treasurer, ex officio committee member, Mr. A.K. Jones, Dr. Marcus Co. Brown, the Reverend E.T. Kirkland, the Reverend A.J. Lewis, Mr. J.P. Sayers, the Reverend J.P. Thackway and Mr. M.A. Vogan constitute the charity trustees of the Society and are members of its General Committee with ex officio members of the ensuing year, with power to fill any vacancies in their number in the interval of the annual General Meetings. So we ask for a proposer that we be re-elected. Is there a proposer for that? Thank you. Peter Ratcliffe and the seconder. Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. We appreciate your support. Those in favour, please. Thank you. Are there any against? Thank you very much. It is humbling your continued confidence in us. We are only poor sinners needing wisdom from above, but we do value your prayers, and we do ask for your continued support as we seek to defend those things that are very dear to our heart concerning the truth that is in Christ Jesus. We now come to item 11, that the Moore Kingston Smith LLP be appointed the auditors for the year. And I would say it's a pleasure to work with that particular company. They are very, very cooperative and helpful. Is that so, David, is it not? Yeah. A proposer for that, please. Thank you, Philip. A seconder? Thank you, Roland, Roland Wheatley. Those in favour, please. Thank you. Any against? That's carried. Thank you very much. We now come to the item that refers to the constitutional requirements that our resources director brought before you just now, the change in the constitutional requirements. So I'll read what the constitution says now. The members of this society shall consider Protestants who acknowledge in right at the society's head office their belief in the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, three co-equal and co-eternal persons in one living and true God, as is more fully set forth in the appendix to these laws, in the whole Bible as the inspired and inerrant word of God, the sole, supreme and infallible rule of faith and practice, and unite to support the society by contributing not less than £5 annually, either direct to the society's head office or through an auxiliary or local representative. Members have the right of attending and voting all general meetings of the society. Now, the motion we're proposing alters the last sentence or so to this: by contributing an annual subscription of each sum, as the committee may from time to time propose, and the members approve at an annual general meeting, which may include discounted rates for different categories of persons. Is a proposer for this motion, please? Thank you, Graham Hadley, and thank you, Timothy. No, not Timothy, John, sorry, John. I knew you were a Hickman, I did know that. Thank you, John, thank you very much. Those in favour, please. Thank you. Are there any against? No, that's carried, thank you. So we now go to motion 13, which is to adopt the new membership prescriptions under the term of the amended constitution set out in item 13. That commencing on the 1st of October 2021, membership of the society will be for a rolling 1 year period from the date of sign up, charged the following rates: ordinary membership £20, discounted membership for students, pensioners, the unemployed £12.50, discounted membership for those in developing countries £5, and membership for pre-existing life members no charge. There's no new life membership is available. Understand the word rolling should not be in the motion. Would you please? It would be for a 1 year period, so the word rolling is not admissible in that motion. Is there a proposer, please? Thank you, Roland. A second. Thank you, Peter. Those in favour, please. That's carried. Are there any against? Thank you. There's none against. Thank you very much for that. Now, it's now my privilege to read an address from our sister society in the Netherlands. I can never say this properly, but I think it's the Hereformede Bishopel Stichting. I'm sure that's not very good Dutch, but these are very valued partners in this great work, and they've done, over many years, supported us, and we've had a very close partnership with them. Now, they can't be with us today. They usually give an address, so they've asked me to read this particular address to you. Dear Mr. Chairman, members of the board and staff members, on behalf of the board director of the, and I'll say the GBS because that's easier to say, in the Netherlands, we'd like to send our best regards to all of you on the occasion of the 190th anniversary of the Trinitarian Bible Society. Due to the prevailing circumstance result of COVID-19 and the subsequent restrictions in travel, it is sadly not enough possible for us to attend the AGM in person. But we nevertheless wish to avail ourselves of this opportunity to express our hope that our long-standing relationship with your society and the humble efforts that both societies undertake to distribute the inerrant and incorruptible word of God in many reliable translations may be blessed of the Lord. Dear brethren, it's our heartfelt wish and prayer on behalf of the board of directors, the Reverend Ryken, as the chairman, Reverend Van Heteren, and Mr. G. Lodder, the treasurer, and they've signed that addressed to us, and we do appreciate their good wishes, and we reciprocate to them our good wishes to them. And now it is our privilege to have with us Pastor Haile Amiru, who is with one of the Amharic New Testament translators and also has done great work in Ethiopia. And we're looking forward to hearing a report from him, and we are very appreciative that he's with us today. Where is he? There. Thank you, Haile. If you'd like to come and address the meeting. Thank you very much. Thank you.
It's been a great privilege to be here and to report to you what the Lord is doing in Ethiopia, particularly translation of the New Testament and the Book of Psalms in Ethiopian language. Before I go to the report, I want to tell you briefly about Ethiopia. Ethiopia is a country, as you all know, located in Horn of Africa, eastern part, and it is bordered by Eritrea to the north and south, and Djibouti and Somalia to the east, and also Sudan and South Sudan to the west. It is a land with a population of 180 million inhabitants. Ethiopia is most populous landlocked country in the world, and it is second most populated nation on the African continent. So you can see that great number of people are living in Ethiopia. Ethiopia is a multilingual nation with around 88 ethnic groups. As compared to other nations and countries, 88 ethnic group might be small, but there are lots of ethnic groups in Ethiopia. The most populous in Ethiopia are my language, Amhara tribe, and also another people group, Oromo people group. Because of the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, which is the most dominant religion in Ethiopia, Ethiopia is influenced by the Orthodox Church, and as a result of that influence and resistance to Muslim expansion, Ethiopia was known as an island of Christianity for many, many years, but not now. Despite the population of Ethiopia, the religious background and overview shows us that there are Orthodoxes, there are Muslims, second in population next to Orthodoxes, and Protestants, Bible believing, all sorts of Protestants, Catholicism, and also paganism. Recently, within these last 3 years, paganism became a very, very populous or famous religion in Ethiopia. It is almost reviving throughout the land. Previously, paganism was not accepted in a general sense, but now it is officially celebrated throughout the country. So you can see there is a great danger in that. Politics. Ethiopia is recently affected by political turmoil and unrest, and there is a continuous war in the northern part. This needs prayer. One thing I want to mention here as I am reporting the political tension and killing and hatred and so many cruel things going on in Ethiopia. This is partly the result of false religion. Wherever false religion is, there is no respect for human life and dignity. There is no respect for sanctity of life. So that is the product of so many years false religion. And how can we curb this? By distributing the word of God, which can give wisdom unto salvation. So Ethiopia needs greatly the distribution of the Bible throughout the country. This distribution is needed because the growing population in Ethiopia is increasingly young people. The young generation is increasingly growing and growing in number, and which is also willing to receive the word of God and willing to be evangelized if approached properly and with the true word of God. After I mention these things, I want to mention the history of the Bible translation in Ethiopia. I will briefly mention a few things. The first Bible that is translated into Ethiopian official language, Amharic language, is the 1886 Amharic Bible that is started translating to be translated in 1809 and completed in 1819, soon after the establishment of British and Foreign Bible Society. British and Foreign Bible Society established in 1804, and the Amharic Bible translation started in 1809. That translation was handled by British and Foreign Bible Society. They didn't make a change inside of the Bible, so that is really trustworthy translation, other than its old language and some different words and statements that are not acceptable for the new generation. The next Bible translation is done by the appointment of the Emperor Haile Selassie. Emperor Haile Selassie in 1945 appointed a group of translators, and those group of translators, of course, all of them were from Orthodox Church. As soon as they were appointed to translate, the British and Foreign Bible Society came along and gave the United Bible Society text, literally 1904 Nestle Aland edition. As a result of that, the Bible translated during the Emperor Haile Selassie remained corrupted. But it is the most loved Bible in Ethiopia, and I love it, I read it, but I used it to preach the gospel and to teach the word of God, unless something faithful comes alongside. But one thing is amazing. All Ethiopians, especially those who are learned Ethiopians, know because of the digital Bible presence, it is digitalized, and it is placed in comparison with the King James Bible. So whenever you read Amharic and refer the King James, that is alongside of it, you will see the deficiency, the omission, deletion, and absence of statements which are vital to our faith and to our doctrine, particularly to the doctrine of the Holy Trinity and to the doctrine of the person and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. So many people who are reading the Amharic and corresponding the English knew that this is not the right thing and this is not the right translation. So the translation into Amharic language is really, really important and vital. And I'm involved in that. I'm thankful for this privilege and honor the Lord gave me. But let me tell you how I came in contact to the TBS. I don't make it long. In 2005, I was here in the tabernacle and I was doing a translation. A member of the tabernacle called Dr. Jensen Lim invited me to the open day of the TBS. And before that, since I was using King James here, I had so many questions in my mind because of the disagreements of the English and the Amharic. That day, at the open day of the TBS, I poured out all my questions to the editorial committee, particularly to George Anderson. And he answered some of my questions, and he also led me to dig more and to understand why textual differences are existing. So I dug and dug and understand the real issue. And the TBS, after 6 years, came to me and asked me to if I could consider translation into Amharic language. But before that, I gave to TBS the comparison based on textual key to the New Testament of 3 Amharic versions, and asked TBS in 2006 if you could and if you will be willing. My country, Ethiopia, is a historic country considered to be an island of Christianity, but didn't have a true Bible in its language. So please find someone who can translate the true Bible from the Masoretic Hebrew text and from the Textus Receptus Greek text into Amharic language. So 6 years after, they came to me and asked me to undertake the translation. I prayed with my wife and we accepted the call. And now I will tell you the status of the translation. But why Amharic language? Amharic language in Ethiopia is spoken almost throughout the country. It is one of the Semitic language in Africa, in Ethiopia. There are about 9 Semitic language groups in Ethiopia, but it is the widely spoken and can be considered as an official language of Ethiopia. Amharic language is widely spoken, as I mentioned, by 27% of the country's population, which is spoken by over 30 million from native Amharic speakers. If we include all others who can effectively, fluently speak Amharic and read Amharic throughout the country, we can have over 50 million Ethiopians in Ethiopia and abroad who can speak Amharic and we can understand Amharic. So translating into this Ethiopian language is really vital. Therefore, the Amharic translation started in 2012 while I was pastoring at East Delitzsch Tabernacle Baptist Church. In 2014, John of Gospel was completed, and in 2015 it was printed, and I took 97,000 copies of Gospel according to John shipped to Ethiopia, and I went throughout Ethiopia and distributed the 97,000 copies for free evangelism in Ethiopia. And that time gave me to make known this society, Trinitarian Bible Society, which has been standing for so many years now, as we have heard, for 190 years, standing for the true word of God. I was able to tell to people that this is the society that is promoting this Bible translation. The state of Amharic translation. By God's grace and His mighty help, the translation of the New Testament and Book of Psalms are completed. They passed through stages of checking, proofreading by groups of proofreaders arranged in Ethiopia, proofread documents checked and back translated according to the principle of the translation, back translation checked and finally typeset, and then detailed editorial check and finally made, and finally it is now ready for printing. I think it is given to printers. Printing will be in Europe And then the New Testament and Book of Psalms would be shipped to Ethiopia. Thanksgiving will be held at least in four different locations, cities, God willing, in the presence of TBS head office representatives. Future plan. There are a number of future plans to be followed and achieved alongside of this translation. The first one, as I mentioned, the Amharic translation, I consider it historic because this is the only Bible for that nation with that population. This will be the first Bible which must be followed to other languages. So we have the first thing, holding Thanksgiving meeting for the Amharic New Testament and Book of Psalms in different cities of the nation of Ethiopia. And second, translation of Old Testament will begin soon, beginning it soon. This translation will be done from Masoretic text of Old Testament. I mention this because almost all the Amharic versions, there are 8 of them, except the 1886 one. Almost all the Amharic versions are from Septuagint source and have so many difficulties and problems. The third future plan, which is already started, is registering the TBS in Ethiopia. Registering TBS in Ethiopia is vital. This is vital because in Ethiopia, unlike other countries, you cannot distribute a book, a noble book, Bible, to people unless you have legal license or status in the country. So registering the society is already started and hope registration will be secured and TBS as a society can have a right to distribute the word of God among Ethiopians as one of the nationalities in the world. So translation to other languages also can be done after this is done. This is my hope in future. So establishing TBS office, which could be a future branch, I hope, of the society for the head office of London Society, will continue among Ethiopians and also for other close African countries. Then by 2026, God willing, the full Amharic Bible will be completed and printed, and that is the general future plan. But Amharic is not the only language in Ethiopia. As I mentioned, there are 88 ethnic groups. But few languages are very, very strategic. For example, the Afar language is spoken in Ethiopia as well as Djibouti. And most of the Afar-speaking people are Muslims. So translating the Bible into Afar language is really important. And Somali language, spoken in Ethiopia by many, many people and spoken in Somaliland, Somali in general. So the translating into Somali would be my desire in future. And Oromia language and others as well. As I'm coming to concluding my report, I want to thank TBS members and TBS society. It is an honor for me to stand with the society faithfully stood for the last 190 years to promote uncorrupted word of God among nations. You stood as a member of the society for one and only one important task. I consider Bible distribution and translation from the true source is the one and only one important task. So translation, distribution, the word which is able to give wisdom unto salvation is incomparable from any other work. Therefore, I would love to thank TBS and you members of this historic and the only true Bible society which stands for the truth of God's word for 190 years. I hope all of us will be for the 200 years celebration, God willing. But you are doing the great work of God. You are representing His true word. You are promoting the right philosophy of translation. You should be thankful and humble, for you are chosen for this great privilege and honor by the Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. It must be clear that you will be hated, as liberalism is increasingly growing. It must be clear that you can be marginalized and will be even persecuted for this stand. But I would encourage you to remain faithful to the Lord and to the truth that will never be changed. And the Lord our God will never leave you and will never forsake you as you are doing His great work. Keep standing for this truth. Keep the society pure as our fathers did in 1831. And don't be ashamed of being the member of this noble, I call it noble society. Fervently pray for the truth to prevail and continue among nations. Prayer request. This is my final remark. Please pray for the work to continue, and many people see and understand the need for the true and uncorrupted word of God, for many people to see that. Please pray for charismatic movement which make people emotional and empty-minded to be restrained and many to return to the true word of God. Please pray for the printed material to be shipped to Ethiopia without a problem and thanksgivings to go well in every place we are going to have. Please pray for the registration of the TBS would be speeded up and for the necessary things to be fulfilled and to continue the work there. Thank you very much. May our Lord bless you and be with you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Hyde. We greatly appreciate that. And may the Lord help and continue with your usual diligence. We now proceed to item 15, any other business. The members wish to speak to this item, in which case we conclude the meeting and I will pray for a blessing on the food. Just to say, we regret we cannot provide lunch this year, but we encourage you to use the facilities, and there is a green space, a park, I think on that side, is that right? A little further down the road. If you're not familiar, if there's a green space, a sandwich shop, 100 yards to the right, apparently, when you exit the church. If using the external facilities nearby, it's not possible for you there, space in the dining room downstairs for you to eat your lunch and tea and coffee. So it doesn't read quite right, does it?
The tea and coffee is available, sorry.
But please do not eat anywhere on the premises except in the dining room. So there's either the green space around there or in the dining room downstairs, but nowhere else, please, obviously for the convenience of MetTap here. Let us stand for prayer. Most gracious Lord, we do thank Thee for the help given this morning for each one who's taken their part, and especially what we've heard from our friend from Ethiopia. Lord, in Psalm 87, Thou didst mention by name that nation. And our friend standing before us is a proof of the faithfulness of Thy word, and we thank Thee for that. Now do bless us in the afternoon worship. My dear servant expects the labour may be brought in the power of the Spirit among us. And now bless the food that we hope to partake,
May we give honour and glory to thee, the giver of every good and perfect gift. Above all, may we be enabled to press on, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down the right hand of God on high. Pardon our sins, remember us for good, for Christ's sake. Amen. The afternoon worship begins, God willing, at 2 p.m. Thank you very much.